Well, I don't know. This church changes all the time. It used to get real crowded over here, and then it got real crowded over here, and now it gets crowded right here. Yes, you are exactly right, Bob. But, well, the back is completely full for sure, I can tell you that. But the front is full too, so the middle is full. Good, good. Looking like Baptists again, right? It's okay. It's all right. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today, right? Amen. Sometimes we don't always feel like it, but we are here today and doing our part today. And so just feel a good spirit here this morning, being that's of the Lord. And I can tell how it's going to flow a little bit. But then after about the second, in the middle of about the second song, kind of figure it out sometimes. So far so good, right? So far so good. So I hope that you are doing well in your life. I hope you're doing well in your world. And we are a part of it once a week, a couple times a week, whatever it may be upon your schedule. We meet together from time to time, and we fellowship and we learn together, and then we go out into this crazy world. And I want to read. You know, how many of y'all just don't like reading the news? That is me. I just don't like the news. Some people like the news. It's just after a while, I mean, I'll read a little bit of it or see it, but I don't even know. I just get to the point, I don't know what to believe out there. I have to think that's what it is. And I don't know who to trust and what's true, what's not true, and all of that. So, but one thing I know I can do is I can go back to the Word of God, and I know that there's some truth there. Right. There is, that it is the truth. And I also can see that actions are stronger than words. And I see that America is not doing so great. There's some things that are going, I think, maybe turning around, which I'm hoping and seeing. Hopefully it's just not going to be, quick and then falter quick. But I hope that we have some long-lasting things. But that's not coming without some pushback, is it? There's a lot of pushback on the good things that we're trying to do in the world. But the world is full of lost people. It's full of brokenness. It's full of broken families. Busted up marriages. It's a lost world. Lost people. And the only hope, truly, is Jesus Christ. That is truly the only hope. Yet many people don't want to hear the hope, and many people that hear it don't want to make those changes that need to be done. And I've heard them all, and you've heard them all. If I walk in that building's going to fall and collapse. You've heard it that, I can't do all the good things that they want me to do. I can't make the list. I broke the Ten Commandments. Of course, we've done all those things. And we that have Jesus Christ know that Jesus Christ was the key to fixing it all and helping us in our life. And I think through time we've ended up, as we see through the time when, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we see the book of Acts opening up with this big explosion of the church, and the church grew all over the place and went out past Jerusalem into all the highways and the byways and all the other places and villages and community. And the gospel flourished even under persecution. But also know that as time goes, sometimes things change a little bit. And don't get me wrong, Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So there is a church. There is the church. But I'm also seeing that I read sometimes are things of what is the church doing over in Africa? What is the church doing over in Australia? And those kind of things. That's the kind of news I like to read. I like to see the good news of the gospel sharing, being moved around all over the place, and how awesome that it is that people are doing that and taking heed to that. But sometimes I look in the American church and I'm thinking that we just look at church growth. Everything needs to be about church growth. Everything needs to be about church growth. And I want to know, you know, what is the purpose of church growth? What is the purpose? And if we look at the purpose of the church, I think we have to go back to what is the purpose of Jesus Christ. Because it is Him, right? The church is Jesus. The church is the people that belong to Jesus. It is the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom, and he uses that analogy as the wedding piece. But I want you to turn over to Mark. I want to show you something that is not normal to see in the church. This is it going on there, but I want to show you if you look at the lifetime of Jesus and you look at the stories of Jesus Christ, well, we'll get there in a few, but you look at it. We're going to look at where he's at right now. He has already cast out a few demons. He's preaching here and there, and he's done some healings. And we're just in the second chapter of Mark just here for a moment. And we're seeing that he is with sinners, and people don't like it. People don't like it that Jesus is with them. They want him to be with them. And sometimes Jesus gets criticized for not being with the Sadducees and Pharisees, doing it their way, that Jesus is doing it a little bit different than the Sadducees and Pharisees wanted to be. And so when he goes into the synagogues, he's messing them all up by preaching and teaching, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and all of them, they want it to be done their way. And so we're going to pick it up here just this one verse for a moment, because Jesus is just he is fellowshipping with sinners, and Jesus is not a sinner. And he says this, it says, when Jesus heard this, they were criticizing him. He told him, those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now we got to look and see what is all about. Now I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. That's where we're going to be. We're going to look and see what Jesus' mission was. We're going to look at that, because the church, the Jesus' mission for us should be the same mission that he had, except for a couple of things. One, we're not going to die on the cross because we are sinful people. We needed Jesus, and Jesus had that part there. We know that. We're going to share that for a few minutes as well when we get there. But I just want to remind you as we go through this that the church is full of broken people. The world is full of broken people. There are those broken people that come to know Christ and those who don't. Okay, now I might step on a few toes today, but I want to tell you, I love you. I love you, I do. I really do. I have a couple mentors in my life, and both of them have permission to step on my toes at any time. And one of them is Boyd Lacey, and he will step on my... He don't step on my toes. He crushes my toes. He said, "Now, Jimmy," and he's just like, boom, in my face. You know what? And a lot of guys said, he said, "Jimmy, you're one of the ones, only ones that call me." I said, "Listen, I call you because you've been there, you know. And, you know, when he says something, I'm going to listen. He's a good mentor to me, and he's one of my mentors, and he will flat out say it. If it's not right, or if he thinks, hey, you know, you need to watch your toes there, you need to watch your step there. He has always said New Life has always been different. He says you will always have battles in New Life. You will always have ups and downs. You will always fight demonic, because the place that you're involved in, the people that you're reaching, he just said it is a little unique, but it is what Jesus is about. And he says he called you to this. But he is not afraid, and I'm not afraid to take what he says, and he's not afraid to tell me what he says. We all need mentors in our life. Not the ones that's going to sugarcoat. I've had a couple of them, and I just kind of like, I've made them become friends and not mentors. I need a mentor. Mentors, I have a couple of them that will keep me. One of them is just a prayer warrior and a half. And I call him, and he just helps me through a lot of things. Another one just, as I said, Boyd will just tear me up if I need it. Regardless, because I know this, to be about the Lord's business is to be about the Lord's business.
Amen. That's right.
When you put your business in it and ask God to jump on your bandwagon, you need to be very cautious when you do that. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61. This is prophetic piece. You can find it. That Jesus, there was a time in Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 4 when he pulls out the scroll and he reads this same thing and he says, today this has been fulfilled. But I want to read out of Isaiah 61 today. I just want to read out of there instead of Luke today. And I want to share with you today that sometimes we get church a little bit off of its purposes. Okay? Now, there are some other things that are involved in our churches and our ministries that are not going to be listed here, because fellowship is very important to the church. Amen? You'll see Jesus sitting and reclining and talking with believers and sinners and just conversing. Good fellowship and eating. And so I'm not saying that those things aren't important, but we're going to talk about these things today, okay, that we're going to talk about. So, in Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to look at verse 1 here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the freedom, and freedom to the prisoners." Jesus didn't come. He said he did not come for the righteous, but the unrighteous. Those who not needed, or those not that were well, he did not come for, but those who were sick. And in fact, though, we are all sick in some part of our lives. But we come to a place where he says this, "I come to bring the gospel to the poor, the good news to the poor." And what we see here is this whole thing. There was a moment that we were all without Jesus Christ. There was a moment we were all, and we did not have the Spirit of God in us, but that we were a human beings in flesh, and that was it. We had a soul, and we have emotions, we have all those things. We have a conscience, we have a heart, we have all those, but we did not have the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he came and he died upon the cross and was resurrected, and he is the Savior of the world. But the salvation piece, he says, because he says, to bring the good news to the poor. To the poor, okay? That's just not the poor people, but the poor in spirit. Those who don't have the Holy Spirit. Those who are lost. Those who are undone. Those who are separated from God. The good news is coming, and to fulfill the law. But the good news is coming, the gospel. He's coming to preach the gospel, to preach himself. But he also says to bring good news, or also that he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to tell you, the brokenhearted are those people who have lost, those people who have damaged, those people who have split in their marriage, those people who went through divorce, those people who have a broken heart for loss of children at an early age, those who have lost their loved ones, those who have experienced death, those who are just broken in all the areas of their life, or just certain areas of their life. We become broken people. And without Jesus Christ, there is no healing. There is no healing without Jesus Christ. There is no healing without the Father. There is no healing. There's a lot of broken people running around trying to find a way to find a healing. Let me tell you, you can't. Don't pay $25, send it in the mail, and get a little piece of bottled water coming to you, thinking you're going to put it on and it's going to work, because your faith is in that bottle. Your faith is in that man. No, your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. And don't say that you can go down and read tarot cards, or go down to the local sorcery place, because we had those around as well. Those do not work as well. There is only one true healing. A healing is not another man. A healing is not in another marriage. A healing is not into another woman. A healing is not going to have this or that. Healing is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Once you find out who Jesus is and what he can do for you, you will find a healing process. A healing just doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but the healing process sometimes is slow, because it needs to be slow. Because there's a process in the healing sometimes that Jesus does, that we need to be healing in the proper way, that it doesn't just fix it for a moment, but then again, it is easily opened again and needs to heal from the bottom all the way through to the surface. Because when you're broken, you're broken. Now listen, don't fade from me, because some of you have fathers that are not that great. Some of you have had mothers that are not that great. Some of you had brothers and sisters that have done things that are just vile, and it turns your stomach. I'm telling you, it means you're living in a broken family. We all have brokenness in our family. Amen? We all have brokenness in our family. Let me break this down for you for a moment. That Jesus came, and he came to help a lot of people. The Bible says that he came that all might be saved. There's no other name under heaven that you can be saved except through Jesus Christ. It's the name of Jesus Christ. He says today is the day of salvation. So if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I'm telling you, your way is not working. And it will not work, because people prior to you have tried that way and it does not work. The only way through is first receiving Jesus and having the gospel inside of you, having and received Jesus Christ as salvation. When you are brokenhearted, you begin to understand that you can pray and ask God, which we'll work through tonight, but you can have a healed broken heart. You can have a healed broken heart. Sometimes I want to tell you as believers that we know we cause our own broken heart because of sin that we've committed in front of God. And the only way to get that broken heart healed is, we know as Christians, is to seek out God. We don't have to seek out very far because He is within us, but we need to repent from our sins. Amen? And then he says this, also to give liberty to the captives. These are people that have a little mobility. These are the people that are held without kind of consent. They're limited. They have limited movement. They have movement, but they're limited. They can be very much limited. These are the people. These are held captives. Those who are drug addicts. Those who are stuck in the pornography. You're captive to those things. You're captive to the beer, the liquor. You're captive to that. You're captive to things that you shouldn't, to the party life. You're captive to things that are holding you captive. And so you have mobility in your life. You're able to do things, but you don't have the full power that you need. And Jesus says, I'm come to set the captives free. And the world is trying to find other ways through it. They're trying to find the other ways through it. The only thing that I know that the world does, American does, America does, the lost side does, is it tries to really try, even through addiction, it tries to use a 12-step program that somebody made up many years ago. And it does have about in there about a faith in God that you can't do it yourself, that you are powerless to your dysfunctional self and to the addictions that you have, that you're powerless. It tells you that you need to seek forgiveness. There's 12 steps. And the world, even the American world, even knows, the lost world even knows that there's got to be a system to help them. And because people are not going to listen to the chemical, scientific breakdown of why somebody is addictive. They're just not. And they've realized that there needs to be something in there. But they don't want to say Jesus. They want to say, a lot of them want to say a higher power. Anybody understand what I'm saying? The power comes from the Lord. But you got to want it. Because not everybody wants to be set free as a captive. Some people like to be captive of that thing that keeps them contained, that keeps them captive. So they will always have limited movement in their life. They'll always have limited power in their life because something else is overpowering them. And that is sometimes, many times, and I'm just using addictions today. You get rid of that captivity, then you'll become more than you are. But the captivity keeps you less than you ought to be before for the Lord. There's a lot of that goes on in America. We give out more psychological drugs than any other country in the world. We give out more depression pills than anybody in the world. We have more people seeking doctors for mental and stress and anxiety more than anyone else in the world, any other place in the world. We in America are emotional a mess. Because why? Because we're in a sinful mess. And there's so many people being held captive. Lost people and saved people. I will tell you this again. You can give your heart to Jesus as salvation. That is the greatest thing in the world. But also, that doesn't mean that you gave Him your life. Giving Jesus your heart and giving Him your life, we think is the same thing, but it is really not. Because when you give Him your heart, you give Him your heart, you understand salvation to the point where you can understand the best of your ability, and you ask Christ into your life. But to give your life means you surrender everything that you've got. You think you did it salvation, but you surrender everything you've got. And next thing you know, you dress up, show up, and be up, be wherever you're supposed to be for the Lord, and you do it, and you don't complain. And when you do complain, you just do it with the Lord, and you get up and you do what you got to do. And you spend a lot more time with God's people than you do without. And you spend a lot more time doing the things of the Lord. I mean, just the way it is when you give your life to God. But he also says, I'm going to give freedom to the prisoners. Those who are legally in prison for something that they did. Every person is born into sin. Every person is born into sin, which makes us sinners. So we are all legally prisoners to the sinful lifestyle. The only one that can break us free from that and set us free is Jesus Christ. He did that at Calvary. And at Calvary, he became the holder of the keys. He holds the keys to all that is there. The Father gave him authority for everything, under and above and over, in and out. And Jesus came to do these things. So when we go back to Mark, we see that place. He says, I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. I came in here to help those who are sick. Now, how do we see that and how we interpret that a little bit? This is what we see through the scriptures just in the New Testament. This is just a few. Jesus was with the woman at the well. Amen? Jesus was with the woman who they all claimed committed adultery. And she did. And she was an adulteress. Jesus was with the blind man. Jesus was with the demon-possessed man. He was with those who had leprosy and those who were burying their dead. He was with the bleeding woman, the crippled man, the possessed boy, the tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, the children, unclean spirits, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the fishermen, the tent makers. He was with everybody because everybody is a sinner before God. Jesus came so that all might be saved. And we come to a place, and I don't want to be critical, but the church, American church, is becoming a country club, a social club, where we can come in, and nothing wrong with having great music. I love great music. I love it. But I'm telling you, when that becomes the biggest piece, someone told me yesterday, you want to grow a church, get a band, get a music, put everybody up there, even if they can't sing, turn the mics down. I don't know, do this, do that, get them in. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a place up by my place, I'm watching them, and I'm like I said, I don't want to be critical, but if you're just going to have food trucks out in your parking lot, and I seen it packed earlier this week, they were packed out. But then I drove by their church this morning, and they just had about the same amount as they had a year ago. It isn't about filling the seats, just to fill the seats. It isn't. You got to have something to say, but they ain't going to stay. Even if you got something to say, a lot of them won't stay. Because some people don't want to be. Some people don't want to be free. Some people want to stay held captive. Some of you know that I go to Jerry's truck place every Wednesday, and there was a man there that did. Spent more time in prison than he was free as an adult. And he sat there and he told me, he said, I cannot handle this. I said, what, the Bible study? No, I can do that in prison. I can't handle working. I don't want to work. I think I'm just going to go do something so I can go back because I'm on probation. And next thing I know, the next week he was gone. He went back to prison. He didn't want to be free. He wanted somebody else to tell him what to do. He wanted to be locked down. He liked that lifestyle. He didn't want to be free. He didn't want to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But Jesus was with all these people. What did he teach him? He taught him, he said, he is the way. He is the truth. It's the freedom, salvation. He taught us how to pray. He taught us how to deal with stress and anxiety, how to fast, how to talk, how to love, how to forgive, how to give. He talks about heaven and that healing. He talks about heaven and hell. He talks about hope, love, and peace. And he talks about the second coming and the end times. He's telling us how to do life. That's what Jesus does, how to do life. But how to do life his way. I was listening to someone preach the other day, and they used one verse, and that I was like, I was annoyed. It had great words in it. Tall, it said some positive things in it. It was about emotional things. I just couldn't get past. I was just like, I was amazed. You ought to know, and we ought to know that when I'm preaching or whoever's preaching, we need to use the Word of God. And when we use the Word of God, you can't preach on one verse for a service. You can. But you need to stay in the boundaries of that verse. Okay? From time to time, you might dip over here to explain something. But listen, here's what I'm saying. We are not in the social gospel. We are not psychiatrists up here trying to tell you how to get your best life now, how to sugarcoat this, how to go get your freedom, how to go get your love, how to find your mate, how to do your thing. You notice that it's all about you? When Jesus came, it was all about what? All about the broken people. It was all about the people that were lost. It was about the crippled man, the blind man, the man that was sick, the leper. It was about the demon-possessed. It was about all of them. The people that were just lost from God. Lost from the gospel. And Jesus came to heal them. To set them free. To give them liberty. to show them that there is the way, there is another way, and there is a right way. I don't know about you, but God's been good to me in my life. God been good to you in your life? He has, hasn't He? How many of y'all experienced brokenness? Come on now. Jesus sets you free. How many of y'all been captive to something? You don't have to say what it is. How many of y'all been captive to something? Jesus sets you free. You tried other ways, but it didn't work. Somebody give you this advice, somebody give you that advice. I'm going to tell you something. Be cautious when you say the advice that you take. Be cautious who you let speak into your life. Don't go out and just get books that tell you about how to be the best you can be. Grab a book about being the hands and feet of God. Go out and learn how to share the gospel. Get a book on what it takes to be a great follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe get a book that tells you how to love your wife, how to love your husband a little bit better. Get a book that tells you how to forgive those that you have a hard time forgiving. Listen, you can be a captive, and some of you I know today are a captive because this side, I'm telling you, even this small of a crowd, you can be a captive to the past. Jesus came to set you free from that. No matter what somebody has done to you, ladies, if they say 6 out of 10 women have been somewhat molested sometime as a child. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of people held captive. 3 out of 10 boys, they say, have been molested. And you can be held captive your whole life. There's only one way to be set free from that. And that is through Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen overnight, but I'll tell you, with more use, you draw nigh to God. And His promise is He'll draw nigh to you.
That's right.
And God is a healer. God is a lover. He is merciful. He's a giving God. He's a forgiving God. But He also is a God of judgment. A God of wrath. New Life Fellowship. Is an odd shape in the basket of toys. If you know the old global toy where you put stars and blocks and triangles and rectangles. Well, New Life is its own little odd shape. I don't know what it is. But I know what it's about. We've tried to put it in a square peg hole. We've tried to put it in a circle. We tried to put it in an olive. We tried to force it. We tried to hammer it down. We tried to do a lot of things. We tried to buy buildings. We tried to do properties, all those things. And then one day you just got to let go. Okay, God, what do you want? That's what He's trying to do with you. You're trying to force things. And you're being held captive. You're being held as a prisoner. You're still carrying a broken heart. And let me tell you something. You can't lead someone. I say this, I want you to understand, Jesus is the only healer. But you can't heal, okay, through Jesus. You can't heal if you ain't healed yourself. You can't fix broken people if you're broken yourself. And if you're captive, you can't set a captive free. If you're a prisoner, you can't set a prisoner free. You need to get it done through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You can't help people with a bad attitude if you've got a bad attitude. There's a growing up process in the walk with Jesus. And He puts up with a lot of junk when we're lost. We get saved. He just understands we just baby lambs chewing on everything, bumping up anything, but you know, and we messing it up, getting in the wrong places. But you know what? He loves you so much. But then you start growing up, and he expects you to grow up a little bit, like a big boy, like a big girl, as we call kids. Then we become those rebellious teenagers. About 5 years into your salvation, you start rebelling. 20-year-olds, you listening to me? You 22, 23-year-olds, you listening to me? You start rebelling a little bit. But you can rebel when you're 45, 52, amen? Then we start growing up. We pass a teenage. Now we're young adults in the Lord. We're young adults in the Lord. When we're young adults in the Lord, we get some responsibility. Some of you that are in your 20s are starting to get responsibility in the church house and doing some things. And sometimes you get those and you mess up and you, but God's still loving you. But then there's a time when we become what the Bible calls an elder. You should be a tower of wisdom. A pillar in the church. The go-to person, or a go-to person. Every church needs to have go-to people. A building is not held up by one pillar, is it? Amen? Jesus had 12 running with him. And when one that fell out, guess what? There were still 11. We grow up in Jesus. And we find that new life is a place of worship and a place of prayer. It's one thing we try to implement is a place of a time of prayer. Is a place of teaching, a place of fellowship. And there's times when you need to remind me, Jimmy, we need a fellowship. It's not a key thing for me, but I need to, and I've caught catch. We need to put a time of fellowship in. We need a fellowship. We need that. But I want to remind you that new life, and a lot of churches are like that, but there's something that makes this unique, a little bit different than some other churches. Some churches are great with Upwards, and I think that is awesome. Upwards is a Christian biblical thing where they share the gospel with the kids at halftime and sports are doing. Churches that do that, God bless them. They're doing what God's called them to do. Other churches, man, they just have the best musical they bring in. They got the grand piano and they can roll with that and then go 30 minutes, 40 minutes with music and you don't even feel like it's been 5 minutes. Some churches are just gifted with that, but you got to be careful with each one of those. This church is in a very critical spot. God has given us something that is, and I believe God will always give you something. God's vision and mission will always be bigger than you can handle without it. It's always bigger than yourself. God called Moses to pull the people out of Egypt. It's bigger than himself. He didn't want to go. God used Joseph, and of course he didn't want to go there. But we got to admit something today. We need to admit, most of the church people here, we got to admit. New life is a place for brokenness. It is a place for brokenness, but it is not a place to stay broken. It is a place for captives to come and those who are in prison to come, but not to be continue to stay captive, not to continue to be a prisoner, but to be set free. It is a place to get your life right with God, whatever it may be, wherever you are on your journey. It is a place to stand at a crossroads. This place has been at a, this stands, this church stands at a crossroads for many, many people. And so many people will come in and then they will leave and go somewhere else. They'll do that. But here's the thing. Let's not worry so much about that, but let's worry about the moment, the time that we have with them, that we do the best that we can by sharing the gospel, loving on them, discipling them, doing what we can do in the power that God's given to us. And when they, if they pick up their tent pegs and go somewhere else, they move their car someplace else, that's okay. That's okay. We need to do what we are called to do. We are a church at a crossroads. And we need to understand that. That we need to understand that we are a part of this Isaiah 61. That is, God has chosen us to be that. Not the Upwards program. Not this other stuff. We don't have antique cars coming in every other month coming in and filling up with 500 people and cars and all that. We don't have 20 acres and all that stuff to do. We don't have that. We are not that. We don't put on great plays and all those things. We don't have that. We are a hospital. It's just what we are. I'm just going to say it. We are a spiritual hospital. It gets messy. It gets ugly. But sinners are coming in and we got to learn how to love on them. We got to learn how to figure out how to not, I don't want to use the word fix them, but be part of the healing process. God has used us to be spiritual doctors, spiritual nurses, spiritual teachers, guidance aides, even people at the door. We need to love them when they come in with the wrong kind of t-shirt that you think, wow, how's that going to come through? You love on them because Jesus took them as the way they are, but he didn't leave them the same way. Many of them didn't want to change, and that was okay. Jesus went on to the next place to preach. He said, wipe your dust off your feet and go on to the next. You're not going to win every person. We're not going to win every person to Jesus that comes through these doors. But then he will continue as long as we are doing what he... I'm not trying to be negative, but if you want the clean cut, and I'm telling you, clean cut is falling away from the church today. Because people are getting more messier and messier and messier. It's falling even into the suburban churches. But if you don't like messy, this is not a place for you. I've tried to figure out how to adjust this and that and this and that. We need to be who we are and accept it. And that's okay. That don't mean we let messy preach. Remember what I said? If you're messy, you can't help messy people. You can't do it. That's why nobody could save people. Jesus came because nobody could do what he could do. Nobody could do what he could do. So God sent his son because he loved the world. Then his son died on the cross for all of us. So there's only one that could do the salvation piece. That was Jesus. He came in and set that example for 3 years to show us how to do it. And even when he was 12 years old, they couldn't find him. And he said, I must be. And they found him. They found little Jesus in the temple. He said, I must be in my father's house. He taught us something about the Sabbath that even a 12-year-old knew that he needed to be in the house of worship on the Sabbath. If we are a hospital, a hospital has beds. We have beds. A hospital serves food. We serve food. Hospital has medicine. And we have plenty of that right here in the Word of God. Hospital has doctors and nurses. It has a staff. Almost, I would say 60 to 70% of this church, if you're a member of this church, you are doing something in this hospital. Did you know that Lutheran, if you ever walked through Lutheran Hospital, that it has a little sanctuary in it? We have a sanctuary. You know that people will not go. You know, I've walked in there once or twice. It's usually empty, but when somebody is hurting, guess where they go? If they have any ounce of faith in them, guess where they go? They find themselves going to that room, going to that little sanctuary, and they're praying back on their hope. The only hope they got is maybe so deep inside of them, they're calling it out because they've got a loved one because they're broken. Broken people can't fix broken people. Sick people can't help sick people. Matter of fact, when you're sick, you're separated many times. You have your own room. What am I trying to tell you today? We're growing up in Jesus. That's what our challenge has been since January. We need to know who we are. If we don't know who we are, then we don't know who we are. We need to know who we are. Now, one last piece of reality. When's the last time you saw a family of four come in this church? When's the last time you saw a family, a husband and wife and two kids come into this building and visit and stay? Wake up. This is who we are. How many single people we have out there today? Just lift your hand up. Single people. A lot of single people. This church is filled with a lot of single people. I'm not going to go down this stretch anymore because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there's nothing wrong with being single. I'm just saying a lot of churches don't have a lot of single people in it. You go to the suburban church, praise God that we have the suburban churches. We have those churches. And, you know, they don't have ceilings like ours. They don't have parking lot like ours. I was informed yesterday that we have some drug deals going on in the back of our parking lot. I'm not calling the police. If I call the police, I lose credibility in this community as being a hospital. I lose credibility in the addictions group. They won't come because it's an unsafe to them. Now, what do? I will walk up to that car and I see that car. I will go off on that individual. I have no problems with that. I will go up there and say, listen, you're doing one thing, I'm doing another. You and I are going to battle because you're in my area now. And I'm going to tell them I'm claiming this whole area, this whole neighborhood. Because I'm tired of seeing your needles and your drugs in the parking lot or over there in our work area. It's all out war to me. Because listen, that person's captive. That person's a prisoner. I'm set free in Jesus Christ. You're set free in Jesus Christ. Satan's trying to intimidate. Listen, we need to quit being afraid of the world and know who we are in Jesus. Amen? I'm going to close with this because I can keep on going because this message can keep on going. But I'll tell you this. You read the first three, four chapters of the book of Mark, and everywhere Jesus went, every broken person was running to him. Matter of fact, they were pushing and shoving on him. There's a part in there that says, and the writer says, and we were doing ministry and we didn't have time to eat. But there was something else that was going on. It says those who were demon-possessed were calling out, what are you going to do with the Son of God? What are you going to do with us, Jesus? What are you going to do? They were afraid of Jesus Christ. Because they don't know the time. They don't understand all of God's Word. They don't understand. They understand they know a lot of it. But they don't know when they thought the judgment might have been coming. Because we see that through Scripture. They were afraid of Jesus Christ. This community needs Jesus. And there's not more of a time that I've seen right now ever since 18 years in this church, as a church, whether it was on State Street, across the street, here, in the homes, whatever, I've never seen, and what I'm feeling is an open door more now than ever. The kids next door, more kids moving down, this transition time happens, but there's a lot of children in this neighborhood. And folks, we got to go get them. God's given us an opportunity, so we got to go get them. We have staff meeting tonight. We're gonna talk about that. I love you, but I love Jesus so much. You love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? He's done a lot for you, hasn't he? Has he been your healer? Has he set you free? He unlocked the chains of captivity. You're no longer bound by addictions anymore. You're no longer bound by hatred. You're no longer bound by unforgiving someone. Because I'm telling you, if you can't forgive someone, you're bound by unforgiveness. And that is a hard place to be, carrying those chains of bitterness and hatred and strife. Jesus can take all that away. Because the Bible says he got all the keys. He can unlock those chains and set you free. I don't care what you're going through. You're not the first one going through it. Jesus knows people. Jesus knows his people. Let's stand.